Us, our listeners spend countless hours every week taking care of loved ones, but most probably don't have an estate plan. Sampson McPhee Lawyers can help.
Estate planning allows you to make the big decisions now, like who will take care of your kids if you pass away, and allows you to control how your assets will be distributed and managed.
Estate planning is extra important for parents, common law partners, and people with blended families.
Call Kelly at Sampson McPhee at 902-563-5906 to find out about special pricing for our listeners.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good. It is really good to see you and catch up with you.
It's really good to see you too. It's been a long time.
I kept thinking like, wake me up when September ends. it's been wild. It's been a wild ride. So many things happened this September.
I feel like we were just in Inverness last weekend.
I do too. I feel the same way.
A whole month has passed.
Yeah.
Literally. A whole month.
We're coming in hot to October.
We blinked and September is gone.
We have five-year-olds who started school.
Started school.
Can you believe it?
They're not the only one who started school. You're back.
Student. I'm back.
You're back. Doing a bachelor of social work. So proud of you.
Thank you. It's been super fun so far. I've been having a lot of fun meeting new people, learning new things. Yeah, it's been good. It was like obviously very nerve-wracking quitting my job to do this, which I didn't have to do. I mean, I'm sure I could have worked something out. Maybe. I don't know. Some people are still working, but I think it was important for me to just focus on this and give it my all, and it's what I'm doing. And so far, so good. Cross your fingers, cross your toes.
And it's an intensive program, 16 months, right? Like you're in it. You're a full-time student. It's a lot.
My job was like a, you know, 9 to 5, typical. So like I'm in school most of those days. So I guess it wouldn't have worked out. But yeah, it's going good.
That's awesome. And the boys are in school. Our babies are no longer babies. It's just wild. Don't you feel like they're just... They even just have grown up so much more in the last like 4 weeks.
Absolutely.
Even.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm like, every day I see Bo, I'm like, are you taller? Are you big?
Well,
like,
and it's the independence piece, right?
Yeah.
You know, when they're still in daycare, there's still that level of like, we need to do a lot of things for them. But like right now, it's just like, drop them off, say a little prayer, off they
they're
go.
Big kids.
And you don't like, yeah.
I know. And he's just so, it's so sweet to see him. Like there was nerves, of course, especially day one, but then he just settled in and it's wild to see him, this like confidence about him, mm-hmm. like walking into these spaces and seeing his friends and being social, just this separate social being. I mean, that happens right when your kids start daycare too in one way, but yeah, this has been wild. Now he has like books to read when he comes home and we're packing lunches. We're in our lunch packing era. How's that going for you?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Daniel, I have to say, has really taken that on. Like usually we'll just do it, which is great. I'm not gonna complain. He's a good lunch packer.
That's good.
Yeah.
I feel like I've come into my creative era with my lunch packing.
Ooh, very good.
It's lasted for 4 weeks or so. We'll see. Not that I'm obsessed with watching people pack lunches on Instagram.
On TikTok?
It's like
I know.
Yeah. Well, I don't do TikTok, but Instagram or Facebook, whatever, like the reels. I just love watching people, like, what are they putting in there and what are they adding to it? Whatever. I don't know why, but it like brings me joy.
It's soothing.
I'm not at their level. Like, it is soothing. I'm not at their level. Like, some people get really creative. Love that for them. But I've done a few little, I got a few little things that help out, like a few little, you know, shapes to make the fruit or sandwiches. I throw those in every so often. And like the little silicone, those are great. The little silicone
cups,
like cups that go in the lunchbox, less cleaning at the end of the day. Anyway, Bo's been cleaning his lunches, but then I did learn that they like trade. There's lots of recess lunchtime trades of like snacks.
I remember I'll doing
see
that.
Like a
chip for a chip.
Yeah. But there's like an empty container in his lunchbox on the way home. And I'm like, I didn't pack that snack. Like, where did that come from? He's like, oh, that's so-and-so's. And I gave them this. And they gave me whatever. I'm like, okay.
At Logan School, we can purchase lunches 3 days a week. So we do.
Yeah same.
Like,
we do.
All about that.
There's 5 days, so we get lunch tickets. There's something you could get every day, but we make Bo pick. Like, you can pick 2 or 3 times a week, depending on whatever. We just bought like a stack of lunch tickets for the half a year or whatever, and we'll give them to him when it makes sense. But yeah, it's good. It's crazy.
Cool. Yeah, it's so interesting I've definitely noticed this more now. Like, I worked in the school system for years, but I'm noticing it more now that we all have kids in different schools, like Bo goes right. where he goes. And then like I have two other friends that their kids go to different schools. So it's like there's like five or six schools between all of us, and every school functions differently.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And we were having this conversation a few days ago about like, why? Like, why isn't there like a streamlined system of like communication? And like some teachers will communicate every day. Like Logan's teacher sends out a weekly memo. Yeah. It has like the 5 days of the week, what's happening each day, like homework that you can do at home, all of the days, like this day is superhero day, this day is orange t-shirt day, this day there's right. no school. Like it's very, very organized, whereas like other people haven't heard from the teacher yet. So it's right. just so interesting how like it's all so different. It's interesting.
We do like our school does school, like the principal sends out a school newsletter every week. And that same idea, the week is laid out for you, what's to expect and what day's what and what's going on. But yeah, I think a few different things probably go into that, right? Like teachers' autonomy to do what they do and what their jam is. People like might like to do certain things. And then I think too, the schools are, they probably all have such varying degrees of factors, like different demographics, different needs, different stressors, different, you know, the whole thing. So it's interesting.
Some schools are bigger, some schools are smaller, some yeah. schools. Yeah. It's like we have this app, it's called Seesaw. And so like any, like Logan, she had a message me a couple of times about Logan, like he wasn't feeling good or whatever. And she just texted me. It was so okay, easy.
Cool. Yeah.
Whereas like when we went to school, it's like the office called, like you had to walk into the office, you had to like give your number, they call, you know?
Yes.
It's so different now. And it's yeah. just so easy.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that a little bit? Logan won't hear this, but the coming home from school, like you were saying, Logan has a sore belly or he's coming home from school or whatever. And I said, do you think he might have to poop and he's nervous to poop? Because can we just talk about that for a quick second? Not specifically to Logan, but I mean, we know how we feel when we're in a public washroom or going mm-hmm. to public washrooms, but we've been doing it for decades.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, like daycare is different because like their bathroom is
it's
in
communal.
Their, it's communal like, and it's in their room. Like, you know,
and there's teachers around.
Yeah. But now you're leaving the classroom, you're walking down a hall, you're going into a stall, you're figuring how to lock that yourself for the first yeah. time or whatever. And then the whole thing is just so funny. Yeah. Like, I think this has been a funny parenting thing for me to be like, I never once really thought about having to teach someone how to wipe their own butt until I had to do it, you know, like right. no one really prepares you for that. There are YouTube videos though there for you if anyone needs it, but it's like, how do you teach your kid how to do that? Like their dexterity even is different. It's just so funny. Yeah.
Well, the butt wiping is one thing, like, you know, I feel like we covered that early on. Right.
Right.
But it's the other issues that come like school. And I don't know like if people realize this, but school is one of the biggest transitions that a child goes through. So whether yeah. or not they were in pre-primary, whether or not like they were at daycare, if they were just home, like actually like grade primary is such a huge shift because you yeah. have to have, it's so independent, right?
Yeah.
So like we were saying, like at daycare and a lot of times in pre-primary, I think most times in pre-primary, they all go to the bathroom together. So teacher takes them out into the hall, they line up, they go one by one. And they wash their hands and they use the washroom. Like there's bathroom times, right? But at primary, it's like, you got to go. You literally have to go on your own. You have to find the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You have to go in there where there's other kids and
exactly.
there's no supervision.
Right.
So whatever goes on in there, there's no right. one to say like, that's not nice or that's not whatever.
Right.
Then they have to go in, they have to lock the door.
Yes.
And some schools are really friggin' old and they're like, locks happen, don't work. They're rusted. Like Logan got stuck inside Aww. And he's like, I started to panic and I was like, oh my God. And then I just took a deep breath and I figured it out. But he was just like, what do I do now? And like, so then he was nervous to go to the bathroom because
yes.
and then the other people were like looking under the stall.
Yeah.
And he was trying to use the washroom. And then like another time a kid was like, what are you looking at? And he was just like having stress in the bathroom.
Yes. Then that sticks with you. Like that's yes. an experience. And now when you think you have to use the bathroom at school, you're like, I'd rather not.
Right.
Really, you know?
Yeah. Maybe. So that, and then it turned out too that, so yeah, I'll kind of, I'll go back and kind of, you know, chat about how this all came about, but I'm sitting in class, which like going back as an adult, like a mature student and parent, it's different. Like it's totally different. because you're never, when you become a parent, as you know, like you're never alone in your thoughts. You can't just put your phone away.
That's a good way to
and
say
just like not check it for, like, at least I can't, because it's like, if something happens, like your number is the one they're calling and you're responsible, right?
Yes.
So, like, so there I am sitting in class, get the text, and I'm just like sick to my stomach. I'm like, here we are. I think it was the second week of school. It was a Tuesday.
Yeah, it was early on. Yeah.
Very early on. And I was just like sick to my friggin' stomach. And then a few days later, same thing, got a text, you know, teacher's like, there's no fever, but like, no. And then ended up, he had strep throat. But I feel like now I am just so stressed all the time that I'm triggered by this Seesaw app, because every time comes up, like, oh my God.
Right.
It's not, it's just a memo for like the whole class, but it's just so interesting how like, it's just hard. It's hard. Like at daycare, you can just call and be like, hey, like, how's your day going? Like, I'm sure you could call the school and ask, but like the administration, like they're busy. They don't.
You know what's funny though, Jess? Like you call daycare pretty often.
Yes.
Like how many times a day would you call daycare to check on Logan?
Well, it's different because my mom's the director.
Yes.
So
yes,
I had like a direct
you had
line
that access.
To her.
Yeah.
I had that access. So I would check in like 3 to 4 times a day.
3 to 4 times a day. Wow.
Like, how's this day going? Did you have
it's consuming
lunch?
You?
Like, I don't think I would have done that if it wasn't for mom being the one on the other end of the phone. Or like, I would normally just text her and be like, how's it going? Like, and someday she'd be like, I don't know. Like, I wasn't around the units today. I'm in meetings. Or like other days she'd be like, oh, he's great. Like, I was down saying hi, you know? So like to go from that to school where you literally like, it's such a weird concept because it's like, you're literally being like, good luck, bud. Like, you're on your own. Like,
that's a really big transition for him and for you, I think. Like for me, it feels a little different. Like I think I could tell you I've never called the daycare to check in on Bo. Like ever. I've texted them to be like, how's everyone doing? Or if someone's sick or something's up, they'll call me if something's wrong. But I just assume no news is good news. So I've never called the daycare to be like, hey, I'm just checking in to see how they're doing. The daycare is like, I am close in proximity to the daycare.
Yes.
So maybe that gives me a sense of security. But yeah, I don't think I've ever called. I just, you know, I know I'm there. I drop them off. I know they'll call me if something's wrong. And I have never called to check in. I don't know if that makes me like, I don't know what that says, but
it doesn't. There's no, I say this all the time. Like there's no right or wrong way to parent.
No. Agreed.
There's different personalities, different styles.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm an anxious person anyway.
Right.
But I definitely think like being on medication has been helpful in the transition because I literally worried about Logan starting school for an entire year.
Yeah.
I was sick over it. And I remember when I was sitting in my office last September on the first day of school when Logan was at daycare because we didn't send him to pre-primary. And I remember being so sick for my friends who were sending their kids to pre-primary being like, I don't know how they're coping. Like, I don't know how they're doing this. Yeah. Like, I am so not ready for this. And then the first day of school, like leading up to the first few days, like I was pretty calm. I remember like Daniel being like, seem like unusually calm about this. And I'm like, I don't know if it's like, cause I know he's ready. Like it's a whole year later. He's so ready. He's so over daycare. Or the fact that too, like I'm on medication and I'm just like more regulated, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I'm more rational. Like I can rationalize so much more than I ever could before. Like those catastrophic thoughts.
Yes.
Are not as like loud.
Right. Yeah. That's important to recognize, I think.
Yeah.
I think all that to say, like, I think that changes our experiences as a parent for this transition to school. You know, it's different for you knowing that like you haven't been calling the school 3 to 4 times a day, right? So that's different for you for many reasons. But for me, that wasn't something that I've done before. So that piece doesn't feel different to me or new to me or strange to me. It seems if that piece feels very similar or feels very familiar, you know, trying to catch up at the end. But I have been laughing that like, even as a 5-year-old, they fall into that stereotypical like thing that all kids do. Like, how was your day? Good. What'd you do? I don't know. Nothing. Like we played. I'll get like little bits out of them, but, and I'm trying not to pepper them with questions. Like I know that's not what to do at the end of a day or whatever, but it was so funny because the first few days you're so excited. You're like, how's the day? What you do? Gym, music, da da da. He'd tell you more. And then as the days went on, he'd tell you less. And one day he said, Mom, can you just not ask me so many questions? Like when I remember, I'll tell you things. And I was like, yeah. Okay, good for you, buddy. Like, you're right. Because I don't like when I come home, people are like, what'd you do? Who'd you talk to? What'd you do? Did you eat your lunch? Who'd you play with? What'd you like? Right?
But it's just like, these are the, we want to know because no one else is telling us. Like when you pick up your little one at daycare, they're like, yeah, yeah, great day. You can be like, oh, right, like, you know, but at school, like they're literally like the teachers are just making sure they're going to an adult that like is known to them and then it's bye. Like they don't have time to be like, how was your day? Cause they're focused on they're getting their children to safety.
Right.
Yeah. It's definitely been a huge, huge transition, but I think we're doing okay.
Yeah. I texted like, Pat the other day. I was like, I think we're doing okay. Yeah. Sorry. As parents of primaries, I think we're doing great.
Yeah.
Proud of us. I texted Pat the other day and I said, we're doing something right. We got such a nice message from school at pickup. And then a parent of a friend texted me, but they said, they were like, Bo was so kind today. Two different times, one of his friends got hurt on the monkey bars or something. And he like ran right over like, are you okay? Stay right there. I'm going to go get you some water. Like went and got water and helped him out. And so the after school people were like, Bo was so nice, like so kind, blah, blah, blah. Aww. And then a parent of a boy in his class, they messaged me and said, you know, the little boy's like shy and having a hard time transitioning in. And he wanted to know if Bo would play with him tomorrow. And Bo was so excited to be like, of course I'll play with him. I can't wait. So the next day he played with him and he had a good day. And he was, you know, it helped it be a little bit more comfortable or whatever. So I was just so proud because something we've always said to our kids is like, be the kind boy or be the kind one. And we say that to them every day. And it's really nice to see them, even when we're not around, they're being kind.
Even still mad. Like, and
you know, of course you want great things for your kids and for them to do great things. But I've always said like, I care less about what they'll do and I care more about who they'll be. And like, if they're kind, if they lead with kindness, like that's my goal, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really nice, like a few weeks in, to hear these examples of like, he's being kind, like he's remembering to be kind, because school can be hard and there's lots of different influences coming at you, I think, right? New influences coming at you and different things coming at you. And so I felt that was a very proud mom moment for me.
Well, I have a fun, that's really nice. And I think it's important to take a minute and reflect on that, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I think we focus on like all the things we're not doing.
Yeah, right.
Right? So it's really important, I think, to let's take a step back and be like, okay, we're doing a good job. Right?
We're doing okay. Not that we're going to take full credit. Nature or nurture, we could argue.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We could argue. Is that nature or nurture?
Yeah. When we talk about influences.
Yeah.
I can see it already.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll share this funny story. So we were laying in bed the other night, Logan and I, and this is like really like either Daniel will lay with them or I will lay with them. And it's really like, he'll spend like, you know, 10 minutes just kind of like, you know, we'll shoot the shit.
Yeah.
And he'll, sometimes it's silly stuff, but sometimes it's really like important conversations that come up.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other night I was laying with him and he's like, Mommy, don't fart in here because I don't like smells in my room. I can't fall asleep. And I was like, I don't fart in your room. Like that's daddy. Like I don't do that. He's like, well, I'm just saying, if you need to fart, can you please leave my room? Cause I cannot sleep if there's a smell in here. I was like, okay. He's like, so don't fart or I can't sleep. I was like, okay, Logan, like you don't need to threaten me. Like, I understand. He's like, Mom, he's like, that wasn't a threat. He was like, a threat is if you fart in my room, I'll kick you in the vagina.
Oh.
And I was like, what? And I'm like, you're
said
not
those words.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're not wrong, but like, what? Like, I have never heard him say those words like that in that context in my life. So I'm like, how's great primary going, Bo? Yeah. But it's so funny. And I couldn't like, I didn't get upset with them because I'm like, you're right. Like that would be a threat.
Good example
but
of a threat.
Also like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I have no idea where he heard that.
Who's kicking who
like,
in the
we've
vagina?
We've never heard anything like that come out of his mouth. So it was just, there's some influence going on. And there's some things that he'll just say that like, we're like, wow, okay. Like, you know, because really, if you think about daycare, and I know we keep going back to this, like this is like the whole conversation. There's multiple teachers around, like there could be anywhere from like 4 to 5 people in the room. Like when they're on the playground, there's maybe like 2 or 3 lunchground, like bus supervisors that are like there to watch them. And then I think the teachers have, they're on rotation, which days they go out and on the playgrounds. But like, there's so much that goes on that like nobody even hears or sees. And it's
there's a lot of autonomy there.
The hell. Like he probably heard somebody say that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, he definitely heard someone say it. I don't think he just thought that up. Yeah.
So like, anyway,
That's too funny. Raising kids, man. It's a trip.
Oh my God.
It's
a trip. I told Daniel and he was like, what's that, Frig? Like, what? Yeah. Like, and he was like, but he's not wrong. And I'm like, no, like, he's right. Like, that was a threat. Like, he's like, I wouldn't actually do that, Mom. I'm just saying. And I'm like, oh God.
A good example.
Yeah.
Speaking of raising kids, we got away from our kids last night to go on a little date to watch a very brilliant, touching, heartfelt story about raising kids. We got the opportunity to go see Maggie the Musical at the Savoy. And we really wanted to jump on and talk about it, didn't we?
Yeah. It was, I mean, I've been to lots of different musicals. I've been to New York. I've seen Broadway. Like, I have been to a lot of musicals, and I would say, like, that was right up there.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you know what I mean?
That's exactly what I said to Pat. I said, I feel like we were away attending a show. Like, we went on a trip to see this show kind of thing, right? Like, we're so lucky to have that in our backyard.
Right. And I mean, the story itself was beautiful. It was heart-wrenching. It was sad. And I think it's a reality for a lot of families then and now. Mm-hmm. But it was not just the story, but like the talent, like the singing, like just incredible. And the emotion that was felt, like I felt the emotion like so deep. It was incredible. It was just incredible.
I always say my scale of like when I watch things or see creative works happening, I'm like, if I am convinced that those people are those people, that's how I know it's good. Like, if I'm like, this is an actor playing a part, that's one thing. But if I'm like, that's Maggie, like, that's this person, this is happening to them. And that's how I felt last night. Like, those people on stage were those characters to me. Like, they were, it was felt so real, right? It was so touching.
I think knowing too that, like, I felt connected to Maggie because it was an actual person. Like, this was the story of Johnny Reed's grandmother. So the whole time that I'm watching this, I'm like, wow, like, and then imagine to know all that, like that deep history and story of like your grandparents. Like, it makes me want to go back and like learn more and ask my grandmother's questions. And, you know, like,
yeah, that's what I kept thinking. I felt I said this too, like it felt so familiar, even though that wasn't necessarily our direct reality. I feel like even generations removed, like all of those experiences influence a family, right? So we still feel things that happen to our grandparents or to their parents. We hear stories. It you know, it shapes attitudes, it shapes values, it shapes characteristics that gets passed down in generations. And I think it's really true. And all I could think, I mean, my Grammy was a Johnny Reed fan, but I was like, oh, I wish my Grammy was here so I could take her to this show. Like, it made me appreciate her even more. Absolutely. Not that Maggie and her had the same story, but I think they shared similar characteristics, like that grit and that, like, well, there's just such a beautiful grit about it.
That's what I was going to say. Like, back then, I feel like women were just so strong.
Oh,
but like, was
so
that
strong.
But is that just what like we perceived? But like,
I think
it just seemed like
too,
they took on so much. Like the men, the hardworking men, you know, were out and they were ensuring that there was food on the table. But like, I would argue that being at home with the children like you,
the hardworking women were the backbone of that for sure.
Absolutely. And they were
and Maggie
just so
was
strong.
Scrubbing school floors. Like she wasn't just at home.
Right. She was doing
like,
well, she was
had
both.
To work.
She was
both. So Maggie is a musical written, co-created by Johnny Reed in honor of his granny, located, it's, you know, set in Scotland, and it tells the story about his granny, and then obviously that was his dad's mom, and then that family and those people growing up, and eventually it ends with kind of how, what happened next for Johnny's like kind of immediate family, I guess, which was really beautiful. There's some creative liberties that they took with the story. I think he mentioned that at the end. So Jess and I got to stay afterwards. Everyone does between now and the next few shows, and for a Q&A after the show. So we got to hear some audience members ask some questions, and Johnny Reed and his co-creator Matt were answering these questions. So it was really interesting here. But you and I were both so touched when his co-creator said, like, you know, I asked Johnny Reed, who's the audience for this show? And we started talking about creating it. And he said, you know, no matter what, I want to take this show to Cape Breton. Like, I want people in Cape Breton to see it. And I thought that was gave so me chills. Lovely. Yeah. And so you know, you could tell why. Like, watching the show, I was like, yeah, I feel like this is our history too. Like,
yes, absolutely. Coal mine.
There were so many parallels, right? Yeah. So many parallels to hear. And even the religion piece of it. And, you know, you hear stories of that. I don't think it's so much in our generation, but in our grandparents' generation, there's tales of Catholic and Protestant and that whole thing. And then there was the coal mine and the women and what the women could or couldn't do in that day. And yeah, it was just really fascinating. I was extra touched. Maggie had three boys. And like the whole time watching that, I just kept thinking of my three boys. And it was just, I cried, I laughed. It was
and how different all three boys show. Were.
Yes.
And their interests. And I was also touched. Well, we were also invited to the kitchen party beforehand and Men of the Deeps. Oh my God. Every time I hear Working Man,
I know.
I don't know. There's something about that song. And then to have that played and then to watch Maggie.
Yes.
Just made it all. The wives who had to like literally in the morning, you know, say goodbye. And maybe see you later it was good.
Tangible. You could feel it.
I actually messaged my mom right away afterward, and I was like, "You're gonna love this." She has tickets for a weekend.
I said the same thing.
You are gonna love it. And she was like, "Did you think about Nan? Like, did anything?" And I was like, "Well, I have fond memories growing up. When I think about my childhood, I vividly just remember all my aunts sitting around the kitchen table at my nan's with tea."
Yes.
There was always tea.
Same.
Tea. And it was same. Like.
And you got scolded if you put sugar in it.
Yes. And there was just the, you know, aunts around the table chatting. I'm like, I want that for me.
Yes.
I want that for me and my family now. Like, you know.
Put the kettle on.
Put the kettle on. Like, there's that something so comforting about somebody saying, I'll put the kettle on. I'll pour us a cup of tea.
Yes. Every time Maggie said that, or one of the kids said that in the show, I got goosebumps because that felt extra familiar, right? Put the kettle on. I'll put the kettle on. Did you put the kettle on? Go put the kettle on. Like the kettle.
I have to say, who will put the kettle on if I'm not here? Someone needs to put the kettle
on. Right. Put the kettle on. Yeah. And that's us, right? Like you're like, are you coming over? I'll put the kettle on.
Like
tea.
Yeah.
Put the kettle on. It's comfort. It's comfort.
Anchored Ideas is Cape Breton's leading marketing and communications agency. Known for their heart and hype, big dreams for Cape Breton Unimogi fuel their creativity. Here, there is no divide between business and community. Your neighbors and friends may very well also be your family. And when local businesses are doing well, we're all rising together. For these reasons and more, when the team at Anchored Ideas work with a client, it's personal. They're proud to be there for the big wins, the hurdles, and all the moments in between. They help you build your brand, define your difference, and connect you with those who matter. This signature heart and hype is the core of everything they do at Anchored Ideas. And we know firsthand that this team of powerhouse professionals are exactly who you need to speak to when trying to bring your vision to life.
I'm always amazed, like going back to just the talent on the stage and under the stage in terms of the music. I was saying this to you last night as we kind of reflected on the show on the way home, but I don't know if there's anything more vulnerable than watching creative people share their gifts that way. You're so exposed on stage. I think that's what's extra special about theater because it's live and you're seeing it and you can reach out and touch them. And what if someone sneezes in the audience? Does that throw you off? Like, how are you so in the character and your singing is beautiful and your acting is incredible and the chemistry of everybody, right? It's just, it was so beautiful. But yeah, I think it's such a vulnerable act and such an act of service to be able to share that creative gift with us. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're so, so lucky to have that show here at the Savoy is so iconic anytime you're there. I just think everyone, it's playing for the next, I think, 10 days. So right up until, I want to say October, let me double check to make sure I'm not wrong, but it started last night and it runs until...
Part of me wants to go back. Like now that I want to go back and like,
I know,
take it in again, like from like already having already seen it and like listening to the music. I'm like, now I want to go back and sing with them.
I know. Same. I've been listening to the soundtrack all morning. It runs for the next 10 days anyway. So by the time you're hearing this, it'll probably run for another 7 or 6 days. Don't sleep on it. Get your tickets. Go to it. Take your friends. Take your parents. Take your grandparents. Take your neighbor if you need to. But it's just an incredible show that we really shouldn't miss. Like, we're super, super lucky to have it here. I think it runs until October 8th.
And it's here, Prince Edward Island and Hamilton. So those are the three places.
Yeah, it came from Charlottetown. It started Charlottetown in September, I think. But yeah, so special. We're so lucky to have it. I just encourage everyone to go see it. It's worth it. I know it's a, you know, buying tickets is a privilege, and but if you're able to spend the money on these tickets and go watch the show, because not every day you get to see this here. I think it's special. I think we have to support these things when they come to the island too, if you can. Do it. It's a really special evening out. And if you have a grandparent and they're local and you're able to take them, I really encourage you to, because it's such a gift. All I could wish was that my Grammy was here to see it. Like, it was just such a beautiful, and you could see that. You could see people in the audience with their moms or their grandparents or whatever. It was really nice. So I think it's a really special evening. So go get your tickets to Maggie. You can go to the Savoy Theater website and purchase those, and then tell us all about it. Tell us how much you cried, how much you laughed, and who your favorite character was.
I know. Another exciting thing that happened was Sarah and I, so we haven't really had a chance to talk much over the past month. So busy season, kids starting school, kids back to daycare. I went back to school. Sarah's, you know, first semester at CBU, busy.
In school as well. Very exciting.
Yeah, you're in school too. Like, just a lot going on. And so I think that that happens. And we should definitely talk about this on another episode of like the ebbs and flows of friendships and how like sometimes you need more than the other. And sometimes the other person takes, you know, or sometimes you go periods of time without talking, and then, but it's okay. Like, you know, that like, it's just a busy season. It's not, it doesn't reflect on like, you know, but we were so excited to finally be in each other's presence that we, when the show was over, we weren't ready to go home. Yeah. So we scooted across the street
like 10 and had dinner.
And we were sitting beside Colin and Justin.
Yes.
Which, like, I'm like, how much? Okay. So like, there's Johnny Reed. Then we hop over and we sit next to Colin and Justin, which they are so lovely.
We were like, hi, did you like the show? We're like, we loved it. We cried too. Like, this song was great. We just, it was so pure.
Really cool. So there's lots of like, it was a good evening.
It was nice, lovely. It was 10 p.m. and Jessica said, do you think I can order the steak? I said, well, you can if you want. But
I was hungry. Well, we didn't have supper. There was like some appetizers and stuff at the kitchen party, but I was hungry. But we settled for Abby's.
That might have been the best mac and cheese I've ever eaten in my life. It was so good. And the spinach dip was good too. And your creme brulee, you were dreaming about that. We've been talking about friendships. You know, anytime something kind of happens in our life, we were like, we have to talk about this on the pod. And then we've hadn't had a time to sit down and kind of really do our S&J session. So we haven't been had a chance to talk about any of it. We have this big note in our phone that's just like, talk about it, whatever. But it's so funny to see the different experiences that happens to us, especially in moments of friendship. So I grew up playing sport, but since I met Jessica, not super active in sport. Was busy having babies, like not really competitively playing anything. But I was in an alumni basketball tournament in the spring, and my first time playing in a long time, like probably 5 or 6 years. Yes, I definitely peed my pants on the first play of the game. Like, it just happens. Sorry, Alana, I got to make an appointment. And Jessica came to watch. You and Daniel took Logan and Beau to a game at CBU. And it was so cute. You were such a cute friend and fan. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to hear it from your perspective, because I'm sure it was funny. But probably my favorite moment of the game. So basketball, you know, we're subbing in and subbing out. There's no like five on, five off.
Which also I need to say first though, that like, I'm not into sports at all. I don't watch them. I don't participate in them. Like, I was a dancer growing up, right? I just no interest whatsoever. Okay, so continue. I had a preface with that I don't know anything about sports, like nothing.
So I did text Jessica to say, I forgot my water. Could you bring me some water? Because I knew you were going home and then taking the boys to the game. And you were like, yeah, sure. So she brings water and she's sitting on the opposite side of the gym. And I go on the court and I'm playing and the whistle blows, you know, the ball went out of bounds or whatever. So whistle blows, we're about to like throw the ball back in. Like, it's pretty quick. Those things happen pretty quick for those of you who don't know basketball. Like, it's a pretty high tempo game. And then Jessica, the whistle blows. Jessica's like, I got your water. Like, you come out on the, basically on the court, like, here's your water. Do you want a drink? I was like, thanks, honey, but I'm still playing. Like, this game is still going on.
I thought that the whistle meant like, okay, switch out. Like, someone else's turn, the next group. And Daniel was peeing his pants laughing at me. And I was like, I don't know. I just want to drink her water this year. Like, she must be thirsty. She's running around out there. Like, that can't be easy.
It was so cute. And what's even funnier is I was on the court for like 3 seconds before the whistle blew. So like, I had just got on. So then you thought it was just done now. Like, the whistle blew, like, and you're off now. You're like, here's your water. And it was the cutest.
How long did they expect you to run out there?
I loved it. It was adorable. It was such a like mom moment of like, here's your water, honey. Like, take your water. Anyway, it was so funny. Oh my gosh. It was hilarious. I'll never forget it for as long as I live.
I'm your biggest fan, honey.
I know. I love you. I can't believe even making the time to come to the game was so nice, especially not really being a sport fan. Were you sitting there like, what the F is this?
Well, it was fun because I knew people. So it's always like more enjoyable to, you know, participate, like watch things, or, you know, when you know somebody. But I would never, like, Logan loves the soccer games at CBU. Daniel usually takes them like every fall to the AOS games, right? AOS?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, you did it. Good job, honey. You know.
But I'm like, you know, I'll go, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I like going to sporting events and having like the whistle dog and like seeing all the sights and like, you know,
but I'm not like experience.
Super invested in what's actually going on. I just like the social aspect of things.
Yeah, of course. Was it funny to see me playing a sport? Like, that would have been a new, like, I feel like I would be like watching you dance, for example, would be like, oh my gosh, like seeing you. Well, cause I would never, I knew you dance, but I never seen.
You can go out on the weekend if you want.
Yeah.
I can show you what
like,
I got.
You know,
I can
in
show
a
you
dance.
Some moves.
It's part of a thing. Like, I've seen you dance, girl. You could dance, but officially see you dance, you know? It must have been funny. Like, who is this person running out there?
I think it would be more interesting to you if you saw me sing, or if you heard me sing.
Well, I've heard you sing, and I think you're
no, but like for
singer.
Real though.
Yes, like if you were on stage singing in a show, like I would be crying in the audience. I think. Yeah,
I think that would be more moving than my dance moves, to be honest. But yeah. Oh God.
Yeah, that's funny. But were you like, yeah, this makes sense, or were you like, who is this girl out there?
I think it made me realize that there's like a whole piece of you that I've never really got to know, or like, it's so interesting when you meet people later in life because there's like a whole other, you know, era that they lived through that you just didn't. And so, yeah, when you see like someone in that space, it's just like, oh, like, this is very interesting, right?
It is. This has happened to us a few times in the last few weeks. Like, I think just last night you were like, I love shrimp. And I was like, what? Like, I never knew you like shrimp. Like, that seems so silly, but it's just a thing that I was like, wait, what?
I love seafood. Like, all
never
seafood.
Never knew you loved shrimp. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, something else happened a few, you were like, came to my office not that long ago being like, what? Like, there's just things we don't know about one another. And we forget because it feels like we've been friends forever. So if something happened to us at like 16 and we don't know that and you hear it, you're like, wait, what? Because it's almost like, well, I should know that, but also we shouldn't. So it's it's a funny...
I was telling you this. I went on a deep, deep dive on your Facebook profile. And I was like, oh my God, like, look at all these... Like, look at her. She's in high school.
I love that one day.
Like, you know?
I love that one day you just decided to do a deep dive into my Facebook. That's so funny.
There was reason behind it. I had a valid reason of why I was deep diving. But yeah, I got down there and I was like, oh my God, you know?
I got down there.
Yeah, way down there.
Deep into the creek.
Way down. And like, we both have so many albums. Like, obviously, like when you
hidden
become a professional, you have to hide all those, you know, university days.
Panic and shock came over me first. I was like, wait, what? What albums can you see? Aren't they all hidden? And you were like, no. And some of them should be. And I was like, oh God. But I went and checked. All the ones I thought were hidden, but there is still some that are accessible of my younger years back in the heyday. That is too funny.
Yeah. We have lots to still catch up on.
We do.
This is kind of like the post-summer, you know, episode drop to get things back and rolling. Mm-hmm. Our next episode that we put out is going to be with the Daniels from Anchored Ideas, which you must know who those gals are by now. If you don't know, you're going to know soon.
Yeah.
Real good conversation with Danielle Johnson and Danielle Patterson. And we can't wait to share it with you. So that'll come out next.
Then we'll have the husbands coming up. And Jess and I will do another session to catch up. We got to talk about our trip. We got to debrief about other summer activities. We have all kinds of things to catch you up on. And then
some more pelvic floor, wine and dine. Some more wine and dine.
And we didn't even debrief really.
Oh, we're just going to say, did we talk about the wine and dine?
I know.
We must have.
No.
We must have talked about the wine and dine.
I don't think we did. We had a post-event hangover. Like, we did the wine and dine event. It was incredible. We literally just recovered. I feel like that. You know, I say that I feel like we were in Inverness last week, and I feel like Wine and Gine was last week too. Right. Like the summer just went by.
It was just June 30 seconds ago. Now it's almost October.
It's wild. It's wild. But the Wine and Gine event was incredible, and we'll talk more about that in detail and just plans for the next one. And I'll just say that I think we were really both excited and inspired and motivated by the appetite for that type of gathering. Yes. Like, women, people want to be in a room, learning, talking about these things, being vulnerable, sharing things if they want to, learning about our bodies and our lives in ways that maybe we didn't have an opportunity to learn about before. It is very empowering. And we were really honored to be able to facilitate that conversation, and so thankful to Dr. Jill and Alana for joining us and educating us so brilliantly, and Elise and Garrett for entertaining us with their talent.
Food, island folk, charcuterie boards.
Island folk, Jill's hospitality, amazing.
Amazing.
And just everyone who showed up. Like, it was so really touching.
It was surreal is what it was.
It was surreal. We were both pinch us.
We both kept looking around like, what the heck is happening right now?
We wanted to do a recap, and we wanted to put out all this stuff about it. And we just were almost like paralyzed with gratitude and exhaustion from like actually pulling it together, pulling it off and implementing everything. And then summer hit. So now here we are being like, Wine and Gine was so great 4 months ago. You know, we do have plans to have another one. We've heard all of you say it needs to be bigger because more people want to come, which is lovely. We were really thankful to be able to partner with the Regional Hospital Foundation and Patria and raise money for their forget-me-not packages. So yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah, we just have to figure out the logistics on it all. Like, you know, where's the next space? Like, that's not too big, but a little bit bigger. Because with an event like this, it's, you know, you're talking about, like you were saying, Sarah, like it's vulnerable to talk about.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And ask questions about our bodies and, you know. So it can't be too big.
Yeah.
It can't be too big. We need to keep it intimate, but just a bit bigger so that more people can access the information. So we'll have to figure out what that is. That's on us. We will figure that out. But until then,
I think until then, keep talking. Talk to your girlfriends, talk to your friends. Be confident when you talk to your doctors or healthcare providers. Like, just ask questions, advocate for yourself, keep talking. That's my advice to that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was lovely, Sarah.
Quick catch up. Go see Maggie.
We finally broke our...
We're back.
You're like 2 days in a row hanging out.
We've been trying to schedule this for so long and it just never seemed to work. So we're back. We're able to do it.
We're back.
We ripped the Band-Aid off. We're back. We're happy to be back.
It feels good. It always feels so good when we do this.
I have butterflies.
This is why we started this podcast, because it fills our cup.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what it's all about. So...
Exactly.
We're glad to be back, having everyone around the table again. A few good episodes coming up. Stay tuned. Go see Maggie. Get your tickets.
Go see Maggie. Savoy Theater. You can find them on their website. Purchase your tickets. You have less than a week left, people. Don't sleep on it. Run, don't walk.
Bye.
We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us around the table on this episode of The Morning Meeting with Sarah and Jess. If you're enjoying your time around the table, if you like what you're hearing, tell us, tell a friend. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you can like and subscribe. You can rate and review. We would appreciate it. It helps us. Help us help you. Make sure to subscribe so you never have to miss another morning meeting. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.